Today is Sunday, December the 19th, and you're listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. This is the last Sunday before Christmas. Let's begin with a prelude on the sanctuary organ, performed by Helen Ely. Please pray with me. Holy God, the time is quickly approaching when we celebrate Jesus' coming to earth. This has been a season of hope, a season of faith, a season of rejoicing, and now a season of love and gratitude. Lord, open everyone up this day for this time of worship so that all may see your presence, hear your words through the words spoken and shared, and be touched by the work of your Spirit. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please join us now as we sing together a song titled Angels from the Realm of Glory. There were three major writing poets in England in the late 1700s. They were Isaac Watts, Charles Wesley, and James Montgomery. James began to write poetry at the age of 10, but he flunked out of school at the age of 14. He would eventually get a job at a newspaper and become the general editor, but on Christmas Eve, of 1816, he introduced this poem, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Later, a music score was added. The song had a sense of urgency and excitement. So please join us now in singing Angels from the Realm of Glory. Our scripture for today is taken from the part of the Nativity story that's found in Luke 1, 46 through 56. It's called Mary's Story. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised those ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. May God bless the reading of this word. Amen. From our I, Mary program last Friday, a song was written by Lauren Daigle and sung by our own Dawn Hollis. The song is called Noel. The violin you will hear is the familiar Sally Fritz. Please enjoy.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story. God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the everlasting Lord. Shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story.
Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. I always enjoy from time to time, particularly in this season, hearing some of the parts of those letters that kids send off to Santa. Here are some examples. Dear Santa, before I ask you for anything, could I see the naughty kid list so if I'm on it, I will ask for something else? Dear Santa, I hope you will bring lots of toys for me. I will have cookies for you, but if you're really hungry, the number to order pizza is on a magnet on our fridge. Dear Santa, I want a puppy and a playhouse, and I've been good most of the time. Okay, sometimes I get a little wild. And finally, dear Santa, I'll take anything because I really haven't been that good this year. The good news this morning is that God sent Jesus into the world through this very unusual birth process with Mary. And it doesn't matter how good or not so good you've been. Jesus came for all of us. And no one knew better than Mary. We've been reading these nativity stories a bit here and a bit there. And I think sometimes we lose track of the whole story, the big picture. When we do the story this way, the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth is certainly a holy moment. and should not be overlooked in the telling of our story. So today we focus on Mary in that moment and how she reacts to the realization of what she's been called to do. In fact, she writes a song of sorts, often called Mary's Song. Our friends in the Catholic faith refer to this song as a canticle, and it's called the Magnificat. The Latin version of Mary's Song begins, Magnificat anima mea dominum. In English, it means, my soul magnifies the Lord. That's how Mary felt when she came to this moment in her pregnancy with Jesus. I often wonder if Mary was present with us today, what she would want us to take away from this whole moment in this story, in this song, the Magnificat. First, I think Mary would want us to be reminded that not only does God have the power to create everything in the universe, but that God also operates in the small things as well. After all, God sent the Son not as a conquering warrior, ready to use supernatural power to destroy anyone who would come in his way. No, instead, he sent a dependent infant to a very poor and rather insignificant couple. At that, at the I Mary program, we had at third last Friday, Grace Ann Prince sang a song from Francesca Battistelli titled, Born in Me. The second verse says this, all this time you've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside this unexpected so we might know that love would go that far? What a gift. God wrapped himself inside the unexpected, a baby born in a manger, because sometimes God works in those small ways. There's a story told of a Dutch painter, pastor, who had placed out front of his house, out front of his church, a very small nativity scene. The characters of Mary and Joseph were maybe only 3 feet tall, and the baby Jesus was very, very small. Now, just in front of the nativity, just so people could see, he had placed a pretty strong light. He would turn that light on at night, and something amazing happened. When the light was turned on and it got really dark, the shadows from that single light shined on those small characters, but it cast a huge 12-foot-high silhouette of these characters on the outside wall of the church. Isn't that really the message of the Christmas story? God sometimes operates in the small things that result in large. Ray Moore was only 4 years old when he woke up in the middle of the night with a huge pain in his hip. Upon a visit to the Children's Hospital emergency room, he and his family learned that he had a rare hip disease that was rare and sometimes painful, but very treatable. Ray was glad he could be helped, but he could never get out of his mind seeing all the other children there for treatment, many of whom might never recover. At the age of 6, he decided to donate half of all of his Christmas presents to the children who were in the hospital. That was a very small act of kindness. But that act led his family to start a program called Little St. Nick Foundation. And in 2004, they had already collected and distributed over 500,000 gifts to needy children in the hospital. Today, God continues to use that program not only to bring gifts to the needy kids in the hospital, but this program also prepares and donates kits for kids in an emergency room setting, and they also have a program for extensive counseling to help those kids and their families deal with some of the tough health issues they face. You see, it was a little thing, but God made it into a big thing. Sometimes I think Mary would also want us to know that God often works through those difficult situations. Mary and Joseph were sure one. There was the issue of the pregnancy and the irregular occurrence and the shame that their families would place on them. But besides that, they lived at a time when King Herod, who was a ruthless and ambitious ruler, who would kill all the baby boys born if he thought any one of them might be his competition. What was God thinking? And yet God's angel spoke to them and gave them the ability to work through all that they faced. And one of the reasons is that God's light shines brightest in the darkness. God's grace is the greatest when we are at our weakest. Caitlin was born with severe autism, so severe that neurologists told her mom that she would really never be able to speak. And in fact, by the time she was in her teens, she could only speak a few words and only with visual prompts. In 2019, her mom decided to take her down the street to the house owned by Don Weaver. Don was known for decorating his house for Christmas, and this year he had put out over 200,000 Christmas lights. Knowing that they were coming, Don had a chair for her and her mom to sit right in front. Suddenly, after only a few minutes, Caitlin stood up and she began to speak. "Mom, look at all the blue lights. Mom, look at the snowman. It looks like Santa's coming." It was a miracle. God works in those small things, and God works in those difficult situations. Those are things Mary would want us to remember. There's a third lesson from Mary, and it's probably one that where she would suggest that God is at work in everyone who has opened their heart to him. Richard Crenna was a Hollywood actor. Many of you will remember him as having a role in The Real McCoys. And most of you will also remember that he was the superior training officer to Rambo. He was raised in a home that did not really celebrate Christmas. They owned a hotel in downtown LA, but not a five-star hotel, one where people who were outcasts from society could stay. Richard used to make fun of them. He called them unfortunates and downright crazies. As he grew up, he had a chance at the age of 16 to audition for a huge acting part in New York. He got the part. His parents were so thrilled that they invited him back on Christmas Eve to a special Christmas party in his honor. When he got there, the party was not at a well-known restaurant. It was not in a room in a high-priced convention center, nor in the lobby of a major hotel in downtown LA. No, it was in the lobby of his parents' hotel. And the guests were all the residents. But one by one, these residents whom he had made fun of were filled with joy for him. Each one congratulated him. Each one gave him a feeling of encouragement. And in that moment, he opened up his heart to God. And God spoke to him. He would later write this: "It was now clear the men and women I had once written off as has-beens and weirdos were instead children of the Most High God." Richard Crenna would have a distinguished career in acting, and all year long he would share his good fortune and his wealth with those in need, because he had opened his heart to God. He saw everyone as a child of God. God works in the small things. God works in the most difficult of situations. And God works with those who truly open their hearts to him. That's what Mary did. That's what Joseph did. And the result was a joy expressed in the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Is your soul magnifying the Lord in this season of Advent? Do you realize Christmas is less than 135 hours from now? I invite you to look for God in the small things in your life, to look for God in those most difficult of times, and please, 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 open your hearts so God will come in and you'll be able to sing glory to God in the highest. Amen and amen. Also from the iMary program, listen to our very own Sydney Gayston as she sings an Ann Kerr Hall song, Softly. Again, you will hear the violin from Sally Fritz. You are listening to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church. Each Sunday, you listen to it on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Next Sunday will be the 26th of December, and I want to announce for our radio show for next week, we have a special treat. I will be joined by my wife, Pastor Jackie, who is a pastor in the United Methodist Church. Together, we will lead the worship and we'll split the sermon into two parts. It's going to be a great time, so please tune us in next Sunday. The I Marry program that we've been talking to you about actually happened last Friday. We are so pleased we had 170 who came to watch the performance. And you ready for this? We raised $3,609 for the Parent Place in Springfield. We'll be able to support the three families who otherwise would not have had a Christmas at all. And we're going to be able to support 10 grandmothers who've been called back to raising children again. We want to thank you for your prayers, your attendance, and most certainly for your financial support. Please join me now in this morning's prayer. God of this season of Advent, we're reminded this day that sometimes you come into our lives in small ways, but those small ways often produce big results. We're also reminded that you tend to come into our lives in the most difficult of times, but your light shines forth in our weakness. We also know that you come into the lives of those who have opened their heart to you. Lord, help us to know all of this, and help us to particularly be open with our hearts to you. May we experience a joy in knowing that you have come in an unexpected way, in a time when we least expect it, and yet you are with us, and we can find joy. Now, Lord, bless those who listen to us each week and to all those who participate in the life of a church anywhere in the Springfield area. May they be showered with blessings, not because they were so nice or not so nice, but because your grace is always sufficient. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We send you out today with a song that has a bit of a confusing origin. Some attribute it to Martin Luther, while others have a different take. However it came about, let's join our voices as we sing Away in the Manger. Well, we're at the end of another worship service. Thanks to Helen Ely on the organ, to Jeff Prince, our music director and bass player, to our TPC praise team, including Sally Fritz on the violin, and Damian Hurd, who filled in with drums, to Sydney Gayston, and to our great AV crew under the supervision of Seth Hood. And let's not forget the elf on the shelf, Matt Miller, who does all of our post-production editing. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, and I thank you for listening, and I remind you this week, as I do every week, stay safe out there.